Okay, good morning to everybody. And we turn to Ephesians once again. And I hope that you will keep on developing a habit of reading. Reading has got to be one of the most important things you ever learn. Unfortunately, many people don't like reading, because they think reading means exams. Reading means such a waste of time, just a drag. And yet reading is going to be a lifesaver. So this morning, once again, we're going to turn to the scriptures. And we turn to the second chapter once again of Ephesians. And I'm going to show you how you can read this text a little bit more meaningfully once again. And as usual practice, before we read, it's just good to pray, to ask the Lord to give us wisdom, give us understanding. How do we learn what the scriptures actually teach us? And that is really going to be really good for us. So let's try and see what we can learn today. Okay, well, let's pray together. Now, Father in heaven, we thank you for a very special book we call the scriptures or the Bible. Sometimes we don't know how to read it, and because of our attitude, we just don't know how to make the best sense out of the scriptures. We pray that you will open our understanding, help us to read so that we can understand better the lessons that we can learn, the lessons that will enrich our life, that will change us. We pray that you will help us to change for the better, for the greatest good. We pray for wisdom to fathom your word this morning. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, one part of the thing that we want to do is first we read. Right? Now, we're going to look at this whole idea of review. And stop at this moment here and we ask ourselves, what did we learn yesterday that stands out? And one of the important things that we learned to read was here, we have God who is our Father. Unfortunately, as usually the case, there are some good children and there are some not so good children. That's our problem. The problem is not the Father. The problem are the children. We'd like to blame Father. What about ourselves? I think this is going to be important. So we have a real big problem over here. So here, the fatherhood of God is a very, very strong one. There is grace, there is mercy, there is love, there is understanding, there is power, there is everything that we could imagine that we would like to see in God the Father. And it's there. But if we do not avail ourselves to what God is like, then God seems far away, God seems unfair, God seems cruel, God seems nothing good. That what's the problem? Is it God or is it us? That we are honest, it's not God. Okay, now, then we also learn the second thing. What was the second thing that we learned that stood out? Right? And as to some of you, that became meaningful. And we realized that God has a certain work. We call this His workmanship. And God wants to work in your life, shape you. We often think, I just want to have fun. I want to be myself. I want to be all that I want to be. Go this way, and I'll tell you, you never go beyond a certain level. No champion has ever become a champion without a trainer. No one has ever succeeded without having a mentor. No one will actually go beyond a certain level because you need someone to watch over you, to help you to become what you will become. What you can become. That is workmanship.
So we learned a lot yesterday about God the Father. So the big question we ask ourselves as we ask is, again here, how do we respond? Now, some of you are responding well. Some of you are still struggling. Understand, this is only the second day. Right? So today we're going to go into, now we mentioned the Lord Jesus Christ in the first chapter. We're going into the second chapter and we're going to learn some more things about the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's take a look at this in chapter 2 now. Right? Now, chapter 2 reminds us of what we learned yesterday. What are we if God were to work with us? And the reality is that many of us are just spiritually dead. Look at our lives. Right? We are just spiritually unable to respond to God. It's blank. What is God? Nothing. Do we want to learn about God? Not really. Why are we here? Because we are forced to be here. See, this is the deadness that is so real in us. And the challenge is to realize in God's workmanship, God can make us come alive. So today we're going to learn about two things, and this is important. The first word that you're going to learn is that God wants to reconcile us. In your morning class, it's called Reconciliation 1, because that's called individual reconciliation, right? So God has a plan where He wants to look at you individually, person by person, one at a time, each one individually. Right? But you know that there is a reconciliation tool plan. Now, this is what I'm going to share with you this morning. And this is a reconcile tool plan. And a lot of people don't realize that there is a second plan that exists at the same time. So there is one, and this is not individual alone, but this is what we call a global plan. Right? So it's not just you. It's a whole global plan that God wants to show us. Now, so this morning, we're going to try to read this on your own, and I'll try to see whether you can understand this. But remember, it's all in the scriptures. I'm not telling you a story. I'm just telling you this is found in the scriptures for you to discover on your own. You read it, you'll understand it, and you begin to marvel at God's workmanship. And God's workmanship is at two levels. One, your life personally. Two, global. Right? Now, this is very important for us to understand first of all. Let's look at chapter 2 right now. Let's read. Okay? So we're looking from deadness and to life. 2:10. We are His workmanship. Okay, now look at verse 11 downwards. See, the world is very well, the world is divided. If there is one word that we look at, we begin to realize this world is very greatly divided. Right? So now, there are many ways of looking at the world's division, and we're going to see this very carefully. Okay? Number one. Now, this is Israel's problem, partly. Since there were questions about Israel, God chose. Remember, we talk about how God chose. And God chose Israel. And God chose Israel to be His people. Right? And God gave to Israel many things. But Israel did not realize that they were not singled out to be a special people to itself. That was the problem. So it became sort of privileged nation. They began to think, we are different. We are special. We are privileged people. We are God's children. We are God's people. And you know what? The rest, they call them Gentiles. So in the eyes of Israel in the past, we are called Gentiles. That's, by the way, a reality today still. Right? Now, so they call people who are they are either Israel or non-Israel. Basically, literally means non-Israel. Literally, the word here, Gentiles, means translated is the nations. That's the word Gentile. That's what all it means. So we are a nation special to God, and all the rest are just simply called the nations. Right? So there is the winner. The others also ran. Right? That's it. That's how they see the world. Now we're going to take a look at God's plan. Because God's plan is not what you think Israel thought. Israel think, we are special. Nobody else is included. We are exclusive. We are special to God. Sorry, you're not included. You're not invited. That's how they felt. And this was something that was wrong. Right? So we're going to look at what's happening. Let's take a look at how Paul did. Look at verse 11. And Paul wrote to the people and said, remember, you were Gentiles in the flesh. In other words, ethnically, racially, they were obviously non-Israel. Right? So they were in the flesh. They were called Gentiles, the nations. Okay? Now watch this very carefully. They're called uncircumcision by the circumcision. It was by the Jews. Israel called these people uncircumcised. What they mean by that is you are unclean people. That's what circumcision meant. To be cleaned, to be committed, to be dedicated to God. That's the point of circumcision. As a demonstration that we are God's people, we have been cleansed, we belong to God, we are committed to God. So as far as they were concerned, those who were non-Jews, they were called the uncircumcised, they were called the unclean people, they were outsiders. That is how the Jews called them. Now watch this very carefully, okay? Now, this is verse 12 now. Can you see? They were without Christ. The word Christ is the word Messiah, the anointed one of God, and he came from Israel. Right? So they thought that Christ belonged only to Israel. Nobody else, exclusive. Now watch this carefully. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers of the covenants of promise, no hope without God in the world. This is a state of verse 11 and verse 12. So make a list of these things here. And they are not nice things to say. Unfortunately, they are true things. Right? So this is the state of the Gentiles. How is Israel going to be reconciled? Now watch this very carefully. The key word, this is reconcile, plan two, okay? Global. One, Israel. All the privileges, Gentiles, none of this. Right? So let's look at it again. Look at it and make a list of this thing for yourself. Open your notebook. By the way, are you having difficulties with this notebook? I am. Mine keeps on coming apart. I don't know why, but all the pages keep on coming apart. So every morning I have to fix it. Right? You see, this reminds me of, see? Just like that. All the time I try to open it and it comes apart. All the time. You know, it just reminds me of life. People's life come apart. what are we going to do? I'm going to try and reconcile it, fix it. So this is every morning I struggle with it. What is wrong with this book? Nothing to do with maybe mine's the, are you, anybody else same problem? Oh, you we're the same company. Anybody else? Well, join the club. Good. We are only two of us. But think about this. Don't throw it away. Fix it. We'll find some way of fixing it. But in the meantime, keep fixing it. Every day, every morning, fix it. Don't get upset. Just work at it. Look at this very carefully. Right? So here we are. And you were once Gentile to the flesh. Okay? Called uncircumcision. One. Without Christ. Now, this is true. All of these things here are true. Okay? So uncircumcised, unclean, in other words. Two. Without Christ, meaning outside the Lord Jesus, without the Lord. Okay? Now, what else? We had no hope. Here, no God. Right? So on this side here, they have everything. They have circumcised. They have hope. They have the covenants of promise. They have God. They have all sorts of things. They have the scriptures, if you name them. So we have got two groups. God's plan of reconciliation is not to take the people out individually alone. God's plan is to reconcile the two. That is God's big plan. This is called reconciliation to global plan. Do you understand what I'm talking about by global plan? Now, we have a global plan in the world to try to fix the climate problem, right? You cannot have only Singapore supporting it. Right? There are 190 nations in the world. We are just one tiny little dot. You need all the other nations, global. If there is no global impact, there's no global results. Obviously, you need a global thing. You understand what I'm trying to say? So we try to have the United Nations to unite everybody. Call for meetings, call for ambassadors, call for everybody. Let's try to do things together, global. What's the result so far? Not good. Division, problems, difficulties. Can't get their act together. Can't get the nations together. Right? Because this work can only be done by God. There's no way in which the world can be united in this sense. We are all so globally divided. We are divided by what? Race. Divided by what? Wealth. Divided by governments, politics. Divided by prejudices, you name them. But God's plan, reconciliation too, is to bring the two together. This is Ephesians 2. Now, to me, that's exciting. Because this is really a phenomenon. If this would be tremendous, if this can be done. But look at it very carefully. How, what is God's plan? Now, since the word predestination seems very confusing, we use a more human word, plan. Right? But actually, is our human way of describing what God wants to do. But since we struggle with this word, well, let's look at this idea of the Lord's plan very carefully. Okay? Verse 13. First, how? How is this going to be done? How do we break down the barrier? How do we understand this? Now, this is something that is absolutely vital. Okay? And so we see the plan, number one. The person who is going to do it is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why we celebrate Christmas. Because of what he came to do, because of who he is, because of all the things that are going to be ever going to be done, it's going to be in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 13 very carefully. Number one. Right? Now in Christ Jesus, Right? So the first thing we want to realize is that in order to know, what is he going to do? Of course, he had to shed his blood to die on the cross for us. But what did he come to do? We were over here, Israel and Gentiles, far apart. Now, God's purpose is to draw us to draw near. And this is important. Right? How do we draw near? Now, there are some people who just want to keep the distance. Now, some of you, I see you. You just look down and you walk past me. You don't want to relate. Okay, I understand. Right? Because you don't know what to say to me. And I have no idea why I frighten you. But you are far away. But the Lord's purpose for us is not to be far away, but to be near. Look at what the Lord, first and foremost, the reconciliation is for people to draw near to God and to each other. Now, that is what the Lord Christ, Jesus came to do, to help us draw near. But if we don't want to draw near, remember, the problem is not God, it's yours. Right? Now, this is something that we need to look at. The first, to draw near. Second, now let's move on further. Okay? He is our peace. He has made both one. Wow. Now, that's amazing. How near can we be? And the word is one. So that we are really one. Right? Rather than two. Right now, it's two. The question is, how can the two be made one? And the only way, the only person who can actually do that would be the Lord Jesus Christ. So he draws people near. And this is very important. And this is where we find that oneness. Now, to me, that is absolutely wonderful to take note of. What else? Let's look at very carefully. Okay? He has made both one. Then broken down the middle wall of separation. Now, remember, many things separated, right? We don't have, we are uncircumcised. Here we go. We don't have the covenants. We are, all lot of things. You know what the Lord's going to do? He's going to remove all of this. Right? So the barrier, the enmity, the wall that exists between the two is now going to be erased. Right? Because all these promises that God has given Israel will now be given to the Gentiles too. Once upon a time, the covenant belonged to Israel. Now the covenant is also ours. The covenant of peace, the covenant of life is all ours. Right? Once there was Israel had God, and here no God. Now we also have God. Can you see this? So what God has done for Israel, he reveals, I will do this for you in Christ. So imagine, so there is really no barrier, right? So can the Jews and Israel read the scriptures? So can we. Can they say, this is our God? So can we. Can you say, these are the promises of God? So they are ours. This is how God wants to bring this reconciliation to plan into effect. Some people say, God's not fair. We are not Israel, so we don't have all the privileges. Not true. Reconciliation to plan. We are given all of these things. Israel had privilege to draw near, so do we. Israel has peace with God, so do we. Israel has God's love, so do we. Israel has God's protection, so do we. This is part of God's plan, reconciliation too. Isn't this exciting to me? Hey, look at this. But if you do not want to be reconciled to God, you still want to be far away. You still don't want to be drawn near. You still don't want to be one. You want to live your life. Then don't blame God, because you have chosen otherwise. See, this is God's plan. And it's a marvelous plan. And to you, you look at it and you stand amazed. God has removed, broken down the middle wall of separation. The Jews say, cannot, because they don't have the law, they don't have God, they don't have knowledge, they don't have anything. And God says, it's not true. Oh, that's been taken away, broken down. It's now, there's no reason why not to. Now, watch this very carefully. And this is the key verse in verse 16. Verse 15 first, God wants to create a one new man from the two. So Israel, Gentile, two. Now one new man. So there is now one mankind, as it were, united with God, if we will take God's plan of reconciliation, plan number two, global plan. Right, so now let's look at verse 16 now. This is where we are looking at this whole theme for this youth conference this year. Right, that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross. That is what the Lord Jesus Christ came to do. He is drawing both Jew and Gentile together as one at the cross, where he died. This is our common ground. Right? And this is reconciliation too. This is God's plan, global plan for the whole world. If ever we are to do, and this is important for us to understand. It was a story told. It's amazing. And I really hope that we will be able to think about this one day. This is in the World War I time. And sometimes they call a truce day. On Christmas Day, they call a truce. Both sides will stop fighting for the one day. All right? And so one side, this guy came along and he sang a Christmas carol. And it was a beautiful carol that was sung. And they sang their Holy Night song. After the first stanza, there was silence. Suddenly, on the other side of the trench, they heard another voice singing in their own language, the second stanza. And for that brief moment, they stopped fighting. For that brief moment, both enemies came together and sang and prayed. This is oneness. This was so special, it was recorded. Because a lot of people have not understood what the Lord Jesus Christ came to do. He came to make us one. He meant to draw us close. You don't have to feel that you are far away from God. You can draw near. You can be at peace. You can have oneness with each other. Instead of saying, I don't like this person because of this, I hate this person because of that, because of this, because of that. Why all the differences and division where the focus is oneness? This is reconciliation to plan. Can you see this? You can read this for yourself very clearly. Look at verse 30, that Lord wants to reconcile us. First, to reconcile us to God, right? Both to God in one body. This is very important. And he came and preached peace to you who are afar off, right? So that we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. That to me is astounding. in more ways than one. Think about these things here, right? So I ask myself this big question, what is this all about? What is God's plan? Do I even understand God's plan? Look at the world today, right? Everybody right now, what are they presently? Look at the world today. What is the world doing today? Right? One, buy arms. What are we doing? Everybody is building military strength. Everybody is aligning themselves. No. Are you for or are you against? And they have been fighting all the time. That's a sad reality. Right? What's the problem? And the one who can bring all these things together, we got to go back to what the scriptures has taught us. It talks about the Lord Jesus Christ and how he came to do all of these things. The question is, how can this be done? Well, let's look at it very carefully again in Ephesians chapter 2. And then we will see how this works out. Then we'll save the other part for the second part later on. Okay, first, let's take a look at this thing first. Right? So let's look at verse 11. And this is very important, where we are stating the obvious, the difference between the Israel nation and Gentiles. Okay, verse 12, without Christ, we are aliens, no hope, no God. Now, verse 13 is where we start. It has to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is the Father, right? Now, we look at the fatherhood of God. He wants to be Father. Now, this is his workmanship. This is what he wants to do in our life. He wants to do all, but there are many, many plans. He has predestined us. He has chosen us. He has predestined us. He has blessed us with every inheritance. This is what God's going to do. But how are we going to have all of these blessings? Right? Because there are so many sins in our life. So the Lord has, God has got to have a plan. What is that plan? And that plan is in the Lord Jesus Christ. How are we going to account for all our sins? No point blaming God. You know, people don't like to be judged. And we refuse to accept that we are guilty. We accept that, we refuse to believe that we are wrong. We always think that God is just unfair. Wait a minute. Look at all our sins in our life. You don't have to look at other people's sins. Just look at your own. 15,000, right? So you just imagine what do we do with all our sins? It's terrible. How are we going to account for them? Right? So for the rest, every sin you got to pay back. Every sin you got to pay back. The rest of your life, you'll be hunchback. By the time you pay back, you'll be hunchback. Obviously. That means can't. So what does God offer? There we go. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I will take the penalty of all the sins on me. This is what he came to do. And the only way is for him to do that is to shed his blood that is perfect, that is pure. His whole life has to be 100% pure, absolutely, in order to do this. And our sins are then taken care of. That is the first thing the Lord will do. It is in Christ. Right? But then the other blessings with us. So it must be, so he through his, what we say, he always mentioned through his blood. But all the other things requires a response from us. You have to respond. Okay? Now, remember yesterday, John 1. As many as receive him, to all who believe in him. If we do not receive, none of these things will work. Our sins continue. And we just add some more. Right? So you add another 10 years. Now it's 45,000 sins. That's a lot of sins. Right? Now, this is impossible. We can never atone for our sins. But the Lord Jesus did. Right? So he requires. Now, what is he going to do? To me, that is a beautiful word. And I read these words. God wants us to draw near. Ah, that is a most, to me, the one of the most beautiful things ever. Right? You all know how near my cat is to me, and I love him for being close to me. Every morning, this morning when I went for my morning jog, he would be there waiting for me all the way through. He'll just sit there quietly until I'm done. Because he's well, he's just resting himself, but you know, his presence is there with me. See, he's very close to me, very near to me. So before I go, I leave the house, I would give him a little treat there. He would come to me and he would just sit there quietly and then he would eat something and then he would go when I come back. See, to me, being near to somebody is kind of special. A lot of people are not near. Some people just cannot be drawn near. You know, you talk to them, hi, that's it. Cannot draw near. Some people got nothing to talk about. But here is the Lord saying, listen, I have made it possible. You can draw near. Question, do you want to draw near? Right? We see the global conflict. Until they are drawn first to the Lord, until they draw near, they will always be in conflict. They already made up their minds. That's the reality. Right? That this is a big problem that the world and things, we just make it worse. We massacre them, they massacre back, you fight them, they fight back, and all the time, every single day they are doing this. It's just adding sin upon sin upon sin. We need the Lord Jesus first to cleanse us from our sins. Our sins have to go. If our sins do not go, we cannot draw near. Even if we want to try, we can't. What stops us? Our sins. If ever you want to draw near to God, I'll tell you what stops you from drawing near to God. Your sin will stop you from drawing near to God. You can look at it from outside and that's it. The sin problem has to be removed first. Then you must ask yourself, can I draw near? Do I want to draw near to God? To me, nothing more important than to draw near to God. Right? Now, go on further to talk about the things which highlight. We now, both Jew and Gentile, we have access to God. You read about this in Romans 5. What does it mean to have access? Right? Now, this is important for us to understand what it means to have access. My cat has access to me anytime. Right? He can come to me at any time, morning, noon, and night. And I mean access. He can just jump on my chair, sit on my chair if he wants to. Right? If he can sit on my table if he wants to. Sometimes he just sits on my laptop and I can't work. But, you know, he has access. And do I mind him having access? Absolutely not. That's my joy. Closeness is God's joy. The sad reality is that a lot of people who are children, they're not close to their parents. A lot of children are not close to God. They're just Christians from afar. We're missing the point here. This is God's global plan, the individual and the global part of it. That we're going to later on discover God's special plan to involve this community of people who are there. So we become a community, right? So it's not Jew and Gentile culturally divided. So when two people are both, the word is both, have access, right? They are called one body. What is this community like? What is this community really? Well, we'll discover this later on. But this is God's plan to form a special community. So it's not just a global plan that has got no practical results. God's plan is to have, and it's not United Nations. It really isn't. All right, now think about this very, very carefully, and you begin to realize what this is. Right? And it's just a very, very special thing that you want to consider. What is that plan? We will discover more of it. But just let me just pause here to ask you to think about these things here. Right? So he came, preached, we have peace with God. We no longer need to be far off. We have one access to the Father through the Spirit of God given to us. Now go on further. Look at verse 19. We are no longer strangers. We are no longer foreigners. We are fellow citizens with the saints. We are members of the household of God. This is the result of it all. This is a new community being developed. What is this new community? Now, we have to ask ourselves what that is. Because a lot of people don't understand. We still look at it and we still are so divided. Why? Because we haven't understood the whole plan of God. Right? Reconciliation to plan is first and foremost to remove all the sin problems that divide people. Right? And then to say to everyone, listen, you can find one body, oneness, you can have access in the Lord Jesus Christ. It must be in the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Because he made it possible. What is the Lord trying to create? A whole new community. And this new community is what we'll be studying later on, the second session. What is this new community? And it is a glorious concept. It's all part of reconciliation to plan. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Now, the invitation to us all first begins with one, reconciliation, one, before can take place two. Now, first and foremost, you have to ask yourself, am I reconciled to God? Right? So because if I'm not reconciled to God, one, will I be part of reconciliation too? No. I need to be part of one before I am able to talk about reconciliation too. Right? So what is reconciliation one? Now go back to the whole idea of what? One, is God your Father? You may believe in God, but is God Father to you? How close are you to your Father? Now, we're talking about spiritual God, Father. We are not talking about human Father. And a lot of us can't speak of being close to God because we don't know Him. We don't read His Word. We don't understand His leading. We don't understand His love. We don't understand His mercy. We don't understand His grace. So obviously, we are not reconciled properly. So this morning, once again, go back to the, remember, review. Review. God is God. He wants to be Father to us. Second, the moment you say, yes, I would like God to be Father, you know what? He's going to start working in you. Workmanship. Now, will you let God work on you? Would you let God point out, this is wrong, and God change you bit by bit? Workmanship, and you are prepared patiently to let God work on you. Now, this is where part one is done. So now I am reconciled to God. I am now ready to ask, God, why did you do that? And God will show you, I have plan B, reconciliation two. I want you to be part of reconciliation two. Right? Now, we're going to talk about that later on, what that plan is. But first, how does Revelation 2 actually take place? Because we are Gentiles. We are without God. We are without Christ. We are without covenant, without promise. We've got nothing. But the Lord says, I'm going to give you everything. Everything that you need will be given. All the sins will be removed. Everything will be paid for. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ will pay for all our sins. Everything done. Right? So that one we understand. We are now looking at reconciliation one offered properly done. And now he wants to show us what reconciliation two is like. See, today there are so many of our friends, maybe even your family, they are, they're upset when we think about God. They want to say we are non-religious. They want to say a lot of things because they have been unhappy with Christians, unhappy with Christianity. They are unhappy with a lot of things in life. And they cannot understand what God is like. But you can help them. You can show. This is what God is like, God is Father. God is full of mercy. God is a Father of mercies. God is God of glory. God is Lord rich in grace. God is full of love, and he loves us. Why can't we accept the Lord Jesus as our Savior? Because he is the one who made it possible. Right? So now I understand reconciliation one. So now we must move from reconciliation one to the next plan of God, reconciliation two, where people are joined together as one. Now, we don't even have to have Jew and Gentile divide to understand this. Even among your friends, you can't get along. You find it very hard to get along with some friends. Some people, I don't like this one. You don't like them, they don't like you back in return. Same. What's the difference? So you end up being a loner. A lot of people are loners. So what do? What's their best friend? All the time. And you are champions, you are world saviors, You're saving the world from all those aliens. You are fighting them every day. You are going from level 1 to level 10, and you are the champion. You have the highest score. It's all in your mind. Right? You are high scores there. Your school result, low scores. And then you say, what is wrong with you? Your parents scold you, get upset with you. What's wrong with you? Sin is the problem. And the Lord Jesus wants to remove that sin problem. And he wants to create this new person inside you. Right? Now, this to me is a wonderful thing. This is why we are here at Youth Conference, because we have this message from God that we believe in. This is the gospel we believe in with all our heart. And we want to share this with you. The question is, can you draw near? We reach out to you, and you will say, oh, no, thank you. Or you can draw near. Now, how near? Question is how close we want to be. It's all up to us. And it's something to think about very carefully. Right? So this is something that you want to pray about and consider very, very much. Now, I'm going to pray with you shortly, and then afterwards, you think about this. You can talk to your teachers about this. You can talk to the pastors about it. And then ask them, seriously, how can I be reconciled to God? One. Can I be part of God's plan? Two. Well, discover this. Well, let's pray together. Now, this morning, as we pray together once again, ask yourself, are you able to respond with your heart? Remember, a non-response is a response. That if you are unable to respond, watch. Somewhere along the line, the whole year, your heart has become harder already. You keep on letting it grow harder and harder. You'll find God becomes more and more and more distant from you. Don't let it happen. This is the darkness of the world. Remember, we read Ephesians 2. We have the influence of the world. We have influence of powerful spirits, and they will darken your soul if they can, so that you are unable to respond, unable to understand, unable even to be interested. And so sin remains. Is that possible? Unfortunately, yes. There's only one person who can take away the sin problem, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He came and shed his blood for us, that we might be cleansed, that we might be forgiven, but watch, that we might be drawn nearer to God. Now this morning, you have another offer, another opportunity to draw nearer to God. Would you take this opportunity? Would you take this offer? You can say no, and your heart becomes harder. You can say yes, and God can begin a new workmanship in your life. It's your choice. Think about this. Our Father, we thank you that we can read the scriptures and discover all these wonderful truths inside the scriptures. We thank you for a reconciliation to plan, a plan that will benefit the whole world. We see the whole world in a mess. We see the whole world in fear, afraid of war, and yet unable to prevent it from happening. We pray for grace, for wisdom, to understand how you can help us, how you alone can bring about that wonders, that peace. We pray that you will help us to turn to you and ask you to be our Father through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for your mercies and your grace and your love to be poured into our hearts. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, I'll see you later on.